today we're celebrating Pentecost, and so we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit of fire. So God has a plan and a purpose for his people. He teaches us by giving us pictures and types and shadows of what is to come. Everything points to his son, Jesus. He is our Lord, our Savior and Defender. He is the groom who loves us so much that he gave his life for us so that we could dwell with him forever. So one day he will return for his bride. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go to be a part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's pray. We come before you, Lord, with a joyful heart. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Light a blaze so powerful within us that we would be ablaze with your glory. We are longing for more of you. Amen. Well, if anyone knows me, they know that I have to teach according to the festivals of the Lord. They're not the Jewish festivals. The Lord God, the Father, put them in place. And years ago, I was reading the book of Leviticus, of all things, in chapter 23, and I was reading about all of the festivals that God had put into place. And he gave me a mandate to teach those. So in all these years since, I have been teaching on the seven festivals of the Lord. And with that, there's also the book of Esther, which is Purim. And there is Hanukkah, which is called the Feast of Dedication. It's the Feast of Lights. Who is Jesus? Isn't he the light of the world? So we're going to begin today by looking at Revelation themes of Pentecost. Everything's got an order to it. The Lord has always shown us what he wants done, how he's going to do it. And he always gives us, well, even like object lessons that Brittany gave today for the children. You know, we sometimes need to have hands-on object lessons if we're going to recognize who Jesus is. So the Feast of Pentecost on the Jewish calendar comes in the month of Sivan, which is in the month of May or June on our calendar. So Pentecost brought forth two remarkable events. Number one, at the very first Pentecost, was the giving of the Ten Commandments and the giving of the Torah, which are the teachings of God. And those are the first five books of the scripture. Moses wrote those while he was on the mountain with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. So in second, the giving of the Holy Spirit by God, of which we are celebrating today. We're going to first look at Exodus 19, 1 through 6, because we're going to do background. Pentecost is also called the Feast of Weeks, and it occurs 7 weeks and one day after the Feast of First Fruits. So we know that the end of the week is Saturday, and the first day is a Sunday. So Pentecost falls always on a Sunday. So Exodus 19, 1 through 6. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, And the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession." So who is that nation? What is that nation? It's Israel. The nation that the enemy is constantly trying to destroy. And Jesus, well, the Father calls them his treasured possession. "So although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So let's continue reading in verses 16 through 19. "On the morning of the third day, there was a thunders and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him." Wow. We're going to turn now to Exodus 24, verse 17, because we have been looking here at fire. Now, many places in Scripture call God a consuming fire. And so this verse tells us what the glory of God looks like. To the Israelites, the glory of God looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. So we can see that the Lord came down to Mount Sinai to visit his people 3 days after they had consecrated themselves. And so this brought the Israelites to the giving of the law by God on Mount Sinai, which was exactly 50 days from the crossing of the Red Sea. And so this corresponds to the 50 days after the Passover lamb was killed. During the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, they found themselves at Mount Sinai when the Lord came down in fire and smoke and presented the commandments and teachings of the law. This is at the time of the wheat harvest, and we know that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost with tongues of fire, and the first fruits of the gospel were reaped when 3,000 people were saved in one day. And if you remember your stories in the Old Testament, there was a time that 3,000 died during the Exodus. And so this is saying, where the law kills, there is life in the Spirit. So at Pentecost, the believers spoke in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And this is a picture of the church where many ethnic groups of people heard the gospel in their own language and became a reversal of the language barrier at the Tower of Babel. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but there all the languages were confused and nobody could understand one another. But because of the Holy Spirit and the fire that comes from Pentecost, that language barrier has been reversed. So the Holy Spirit overcame language and cultural barriers, and we know that the church is made up of every nation, tongue, and tribe. We are going to be turning to Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Now, this is one of the little books if you happen to be looking in your Bibles. And if you get to Ezekiel, which is a fairly good sized book, and then it's just a couple I had of that, and then you'll come to Joel. And we're going to be looking at verse 23 of chapter 2. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is known as the early rain, which is a type or shadow, with the greater rain, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit near the end of time. Now, Joel 2:23 confers, "Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains as before." So the first Pentecost celebrates the revelation of God at Mount Sinai when he came to personally deliver his word to his people. Jesus fulfills all the festivals of the Lord. That's why they're so important to know them. Jesus was our Passover lamb who died for our bondage to sin on the day of Passover. He was without sin, our unleavened bread, our bread of life. He was in the tomb on this day and became the kernel of wheat that was buried in the earth. Jesus arose on first fruits and became the first fruit of the barley harvest. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to gather all the believers in Jesus, in God's spring harvest. Pentecost is called the giving of the Torah because this is the literal day that God revealed himself to the Israelites as they stood at the foot of the mountain. That's why this festival that we're celebrating today is of such very great importance. And you know what? We had some natural signs today as I was sitting worshiping the Lord this morning. The wind blew and the rain came. We have in the spirit the wind of fire, of holiness. And we have the rain to nourish us and to help us grow in him. So that brings us to the second point, the giving of the Holy Spirit. We gain a deeper understanding for God's plan of redemption as we are all on our own spiritual journeys. We need to flee Egypt or sin and turn to the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. We are immersed in the Holy Spirit when we receive the baptism of the fire of the Spirit and receive power to live our lives and go out and share him with others. We receive our Pentecost when the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God in a deeper and more powerful way. Jesus appeared to many people for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, 4 and 5. So what did Jesus tell the believers to do? You know, this was of utmost importance to him. So Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we've all wondered, well, how long did they have to wait? Well, if he ascended at the end of 40 days, and Pentecost was not for another 10 days, that's how long they would have waited. 10 days for the Spirit to fall. So God had a purpose for the baptism of fire. So let's continue reading in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. And these are the last words, again, that Jesus spoke before returning to his Father's side in heaven. And his last words concern the importance of the most pressing of missions. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Just as we saw a power tool work so much better than a screwdriver this morning and made it quick, that's the Holy Spirit power we have. We have a power tool within us. We just need to receive it, activate it, and use it for the kingdom of God. That should be our purpose for living. Seriously, people. So this mandate was unlike any commission ever before given. And it is not something that we can do in our own strength. Jesus instructed them to wait until they received the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. It turns us into powerful and courageous spokesmen for God. You know, that power includes the witness of what God has done in our lives. It also gives us the empowerment to pray for people and to expect them to be healed. Because Jesus said, if you don't believe me by what I say, believe me for what I do. And that is the gospel in a nutshell. So the complexion and the prospects of our world have been irreversibly changed because Jesus' disciples continued to be witnesses. Witnessing for Jesus begins where we live and work. But as we continue to carry out the Lord's commission, his Holy Spirit will empower our lives so that our testimony may have an ever-widening influence. You have no idea how the word of God spreads as you speak it forth, as you pray. They tell other people when God has touched them. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. And we're going to be turning to 1 John 5, 5 through 7. So, you know, when we give our lives to Jesus, he in turn offers us eternal life, which we have even when we are here on earth. So in this scripture, in 1 John 5, 5 through 7, we see that the Holy Spirit within us testifies of this reality. Verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree. Today, we have the spirit of chaos, of lies, of terrible things going on. We need the Holy Spirit, especially in the days that we're living in. We saw in Acts chapter 2, we're going to continue in Acts chapter 2, by the way, that there was a sound and there was flames of fire and all were filled and spoke in other tongues. You know, sometimes we try to let each other off the hook and say, well, some people can have that. Everybody doesn't need that. This was the first evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was the gift of tongues. That is what the Assemblies of God stands for and believes. So let's continue reading in Acts 2, 12 through 13 to find out what they're accused of. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, man, they've had too much wine. Well, we all know that these same accusations occur today. And Christians are called fanatics, and they can be dangerous. Of course, we're dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. We are dangerous. Just use the gifts that God has given you, and we can take back the kingdom and bring it into the light. But what did Peter declare had actually happened? Let's continue by looking at verses 14 through 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on your servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, I want you to look at this one more time, because it says in verse 17, in the last days. If it was the last days at the beginning of Pentecost when Peter got up to exclaim these words, we are 2,000 years in the last days. How much more time is the Lord going to give us? before he returns. And another good thing, I pour out my spirit on all people, not just a few, but anybody who wants to receive. And this is your sons and daughters. We don't have to be a grown-up. Our little children can receive this baptism of fire. It doesn't matter how old you are. The Lord doesn't look at that. He looks at a hungry heart. Are you willing? R.A. Torrey, who's an American evangelist, said, "The cross of Christ declares two things. First, God's infinite love of the world. Second, God's infinite hatred of sin." You know, he couldn't have possibly have not sent his son to take our place if he didn't know that we would be lost forever without him. You know, his hatred for sin is deep, but his love for the world is so great. He came so that we could live. Peter quoted from the book of Joel. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. We're going to look at some prophetic words here. Because of his proclamation, what Peter said about Joel, we can see that the last days had begun. So Isaiah 44, 3 brings hope. Think about this. Because spiritual dryness is a forerunner to revival. How much drier does it have to get? We are literally on the cusp of a great revival, of a great awakening, a great move of God to gather in the lost souls, the harvest that Jesus said is already ripe and ready. Isaiah prophesied in verse 3 of chapter 44, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." What a promise. Think about it. Where it is now dry, the Lord will send streams of living water. Again, spiritual dryness is a forerunner to revival. And the sprinkles we had this morning, to me, declare it. He comforts his people with promises of great spiritual blessings. The Holy Spirit is the best antidote to our fears. When he comes in, all of his goodness causes all of our fears to turn into thanksgiving and praise. How we should be in awe of him. Now let us look at chapter 55 in the book of Isaiah, verse 1. And this is a prompting from the Holy Spirit. And I just want you to remember, where it is spiritually dry, if you are thirsty, he will bring the river. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Drink from the water of life, Jesus." Water symbolizes eternal life with God. So we're going to look at John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Again, we're going to look at a festival. You know, Jesus always talked about things that applied to whichever festival it was. And so here, Jesus himself is making a proclamation in Jerusalem while he is celebrating at the Feast of Tabernacles. So starting at verse 37 of John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Thus, we have the movement of seeing Jesus in the process of fulfilling all of these festivals. So again, Jesus always uses the feast of the Lord to point to himself. For 7 days, the Feast of at the Feast of Tabernacles, water was carried in golden pitchers from the pool of Siloam to the temple as a reminder of the rock which brought forth the water in the desert and the hope of the coming deliverance of the Messiah. Jesus is the true water of life, who turns symbols into reality. When we believe in him, we too become channels of living water through the Holy Spirit, which was given after Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Let's compare some other scripture. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. This tells us what the Spirit gives through Christ. And this just, to me, kind of puts it all together. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all confess that Jesus is Lord, but so is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Jesus. Though the law is holy and good, we're not able to follow it fully as it was written in stone. We cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit within us and the shedding of the blood of Jesus, who became our perfect sacrifice for our sins. We know that the written law only makes us conscious of sin, moral obligation, and guilt. Thank God that in his love for us, he was willing to give his only son for the remission of sin. Our Heavenly Father always has a plan. His ways are perfect, and his ways are so much higher than what we could ever imagine. The signs that were seen at that first Pentecost at Mount Sinai were present with the Holy Spirit outpouring. I would like to quote from what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, which is written by Stanley M. Horton of Gospel Publishing House. And that's the publishing house of the Assemblies of God. He was foundational in, I don't know how I want to say that, bringing us into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so what I'm only going to give you a couple paragraphs from pages 140 to 144. And this was actually taken from one of our Sunday school resource packets in 2008. I just plain kept it. So as a quote, only one sign was a part of the Pentecostal baptism. All who were filled with the Holy Spirit began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. They spoke. But the words did not come from their minds or their thinking. The Spirit gave them the utterance, which was expressed boldly, loudly, and with obvious anointing and power. The 120 spoke in real languages that were actually understood by a variety of people from a variety of places. This brought a witness to the universality of the gift and to both the universality and unity of the church. On the day of Pentecost, the sound of the tongues did gather the crowd, but what they heard was not discourse or preaching. Rather, it was the wonderful works of God. It was certainly worship, not preaching. The Spirit's work of convincing the world began when Peter stood up and began to speak. What he gave was not a sermon. I think we've all thought of it as a sermon. But it was not a sermon. He did not study or prepare for it or to try to figure out 3 points. But it says he began to speak. And it is called he uttered forth. It is the same verb in Acts 2:4, of the Spirit giving utterance in tongues. But this time, the Spirit gave an utterance in Peter's own language, Aramaic, a language the whole crowd understood. In other words, instead of a sermon, it was a manifestation of the gift of prophecy, end quote. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that awesome? God can do that for each one of us, actually. So Peter exclaims in Acts 2:14 through 17, what we've already looked at, Joel had been already speaking about and had prophesied. Yes, God has all things in perfect timing. He has a plan and it will be established. We are walking in the days that Joel foretold and that Peter exclaimed at Pentecost. I'd like to share just a couple of stories with you from my own family, from our family. Sean, who's our son that lives in Florida, and his wife, Cindy, have been praying for their children to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Recently, our son Sean had taken Laird to youth group. Afterwards, Laird jumped in the car and reported that 5 of his friends had received the Holy Spirit with evidence of tongues. You know, it kind of bothered Sean because Laird didn't say anything about himself. So he had to kind of pressure him a little bit. He said, Laird, so what happened for you? Oh, he said, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit ever since Bible camp last year. So at age 15, at Bible camp, a year ago, he had received the baptism of fire. And his parents didn't even know. But he's always had a fire for the Lord. He told his dad, he says he prays in the Spirit every night and reads his Bible before bedtime. How cool is that for someone who is 15, now 16, and spending time with the Lord and loving every minute of it? Laird is in the process of preparing to go on a mission trip to Los Angeles, to the Dream Center. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the Dream Center. Well, this will be in July, and it's kind of in the hood or in the inner city of LA. And there's lots of people who are street people, people who are on drugs, who are looking for help. And that's what the Dream Center is all about. So for his very first mission trip, he's going there to preach the gospel and to share with the homeless and those who are looking for treatment who Jesus is and what he means to him. Dylan, who is Amanda and Colin's oldest son, received the gift of tongues when he was just 3 years old at Friendship Assembly of God in his Sunday school room. And his grandpa Don is always praying in the Spirit. And you know, Dylan can be in the house and all of a sudden we can hear him praying in the Spirit also. You know, he's maybe not as showy as some, but he loves Jesus. So believers, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the power sent by Jesus. Follow the truth. We cannot live in this life without it. The time for the end time harvest of souls is upon us. Learn from him. Do not follow after the flesh. Follow after the Spirit. Let's pray. We praise you, Lord, for sending us your Holy Spirit. We need a fresh drink. Jesus, you said that out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. We want to be filled afresh with your mighty presence. We need you. Use us as vessels of your holiness. Through your Holy Spirit, we will bring in the harvest of lost souls. Thank you for using us. Place a new hunger and thirst for righteousness as we move forward in your mercy and grace. Lead us on this pathway of life. Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. We humbly bow before you. Ignite us into a fresh fire of love, peace, and joy. In your Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen.